Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. You're in the breakfast huddle. Elliot Danker, Manisha Tank, and Ryan Hwang joining you. Strange one for the markets, just in the sense that it felt like they were just treading water by the close of the session. Pretty much flat, despite the fact that we had a fair amount of news overnight, coming out of the US especially.
Yeah, the one taking center stage is that massive marketing campaign by US President Joe Biden.
So we do have him pretty much trying to sell it once again, and this time it's with the angle, with China in focus, the U.S. needs to keep up with China in terms of spending. And of course, all that spending going to things for future-proofing the economy. And he's now saying he's willing to compromise on those tax hikes in terms of how much exactly it needs to go up. To get a bigger picture, I've got Shane Oliver. He is the head of investment strategy and chief economist at AMP Capital. Shane, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good, Ryan. Hope you are too.
I'm doing well. Hey, Shane, let's get into those tax plans by the US. So you actually have Janet Yellen pushing for those tax, or rather global minimum tax rates. The IMF this week also saying they are behind the idea of a global minimum tax rate. Are you liking that idea? Do you think that can happen realistically?
Well, I do like the idea. I think it makes sense. Obviously, the big concern in the US is that if they raise their corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%, then they will see capital outflow and companies seeking to relocate their earnings in other lower taxing countries. And so that's obviously a concern. It's the reverse of what Donald Trump did a few years ago when he cut the tax rate and it saw money come back into the US. So that's obviously a concern for the US, and Janet Yellen's trying to head that off by offering up or proposing a global minimum corporate tax rate. This has been on the agenda for some time globally. It's been held up to some degree with a dispute over how to tax US tech companies, and it looks like there might be some sort of trade-off there. So we could see some progress on that front, and I think it does make sense. I think we do have a situation, unfortunately, where companies can artificially move earnings and move revenue from one country to another. And that has the effect of lowering their tax burden to ridiculously low levels.
Yeah, so
I think progress on this would certainly be welcome.
Yeah, it seems like those that will be hardest hit will be tech companies if it does happen. And I guess for context, Singapore's tax rate right now is around 17% for corporates. So we have that pitch or proposal for it to be 21%. We are hoping for progress, at least the US is hoping for it. Do you think that can happen realistically, though? Like you pointed out, it's been talked about for quite a long time.
It certainly has. It looks like it's on the agenda for the next G20 leaders meeting or a meeting in the next week or so. If there is some progress there, then it may start to become a reality around mid-year. But I think there's lots of issues here. Some smaller countries might say, well, why should we change? We're not in the G20. We didn't agree to that. So I suspect that we'll be talking about this issue for some time to come. It does make some sense. I doubt that they'll get to the 21%. I think some in Europe are talking about a lower rate than that, maybe the 7-8% in Singapore or 12% or something like that. But I think it's something that's probably coming into focus with the US now backing it. It does get helps progress on this front. I think there's a fair way to go before it becomes reality.
Yeah, Shane, on that note about the US economy, we've got JP Morgan chief Jamie Dimon. He's got a bullish view on what's going to happen in the next few years, and that is because of various factors, including a lot of savings, a lot of pent-up spending. So he's thinking the economic boom will last to at least 2023. Shane, what does that mean for stock markets in the US? Are we going to see record highs for the next 2 years?
Look, on the face of it, stronger growth is good news for share markets, but there's always a danger of having too much of a good thing. If the US economy starts to overheat and we start to get a more significant inflation and lasting inflation breakout by 2023, say, then that could lead to much higher interest rates and start to take some of the supports away from the share market. So I think for the time being, it's a positive, and the share markets are looking at it that way too. There is talk of corporate tax rate hikes. That's normally a negative. There is talk of higher interest rates at some point down the track. That's normally a negative. But it's all been swamped by very strong earnings growth on the back of very strong economic growth. And I suspect that could continue at least for another year.
Shane Oliver, he's the head of investment strategy and chief economist at AMP Capital. Now, Shane, looking at Bitcoin, one of the popular topics that's been making the news in recent times, venture capitalist Peter Thiel is calling Bitcoin a Chinese financial weapon because he thinks it threatens fiat money, especially US dollar. Is he close to describing it accurately?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. I know a lot of people say a lot of things about Bitcoin, but it's a Ponzi scheme, that it's no one's going to use it as a currency. It's just something to speculate on. It's horrible for the environment, which it is, I think. I wouldn't go so far as to say that it's a Chinese financial weapon. I think that's a bit over the top. Yes, it does threaten fiat currencies, but so did gold. And ultimately, fiat currencies have prevailed. So I think that I find it hard to see Bitcoin doing away with fiat currencies like the US dollar. I think that's very unlikely. And I just don't quite get the link as to why the Chinese are doing it. There's a lot of Americans who are long Bitcoin as well. A lot of enthusiasts in America who are very long Bitcoin. So I don't think it's just the Chinese who might be supportive of it. And back home in China, there seems to be a degree of skepticism about it. I think what you can say, though, is that a lot of the Bitcoin mining, something like 75% of Bitcoin mining does occur in China. And if you were at all worried about the environment, it is a reason to stay away from Bitcoin because it uses a massive amount of energy to just do one transaction. It's something like the equivalent of 500,000 Visa transactions in terms of the electricity used. So, and of course, a lot of that electricity is being undertaken in China in Bitcoin mining to mine those new Bitcoins. Something like 75% of Bitcoin mining occurs in China, and a big chunk of electricity generation in China is by coal, which of course creates a lot of carbon pollution. So if you are concerned about the environment, then I think that's a reason to be skeptical of Bitcoin. But I'm not so convinced that it's a Chinese financial weapon.
Shane, fun fact, it was illegal to own gold in the US in the 1930s. So maybe you could see history repeating itself. And look at, finally, the Australian dollar quickly. We are looking at Australian dollar seeing some weakness. Year to date, it's down 1.3% versus US dollar. Where does it go from here, especially when you take into account the FOMC minutes overnight? It was rather dovish. Why are you looking out for the Aussie dollar in the next few quarters?
Well, I guess we had the FOMC minutes, which were dovish, and then we had the Reserve Bank on Tuesday, which was also dovish. So both central banks for those two countries are dovish. I think what happened is that the Aussie dollar rose too far too fast. It went from 55 cents in March last year, got as high as 80 cents earlier this year. That was perhaps too quick. It's now going through a bit of a correction, just like the decline in the US dollar is going through a bit of a correction. The US dollar's gone up, the Aussie dollar's gone down. But I think ultimately, if the global economy continues to recover, that's good for confidence globally and will work against the risk haven US dollar in favour of more cyclical currencies like the Aussie dollar. So I think there's more upside ahead for the Aussie dollar once it gets through this bit of a correction, this lull that it's currently in. And I see it pushing above 80 cents by the end of the year.
All right, maybe more upside for the Aussie dollar. We are chatting Shane Oliver. He's the Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Shane, thank you as always, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Ryan. Have a great day.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.